Welcome back to That's Politics. I'm your host, Mackenzie Atkinson. I hope you enjoyed your holidays and that politics didn't cause big fights at the dinner table. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene's resignation and the upcoming election to replace her. You've probably heard a lot about her resigning and her butting heads with President Trump in recent weeks. But I'm going to give you a rundown of her political career, why this came out of nowhere, and what this might mean for the MAGA movement come the 2026 midterms. I also ask you to stick around to the end of the episode, where I have a special announcement about the upcoming year. Without further ado, let's jump right in. Marjorie Taylor Greene, or MTG, was elected into office during the 2020 election and has been serving as a representative for Georgia's 14th congressional district ever since. Prior to her running for Congress, Greene ran a construction company called Taylor Construction and established, then sold, a CrossFit gym. Leading up to her run for office, she espoused a variety of fringe right-wing beliefs and conspiracy theories. Things such as pushing the QAnon conspiracy theory, which she later backtracked in August of 2020, the belief that the 2017 Charlottesville white supremacist rally was an inside job that would further the agenda of the elites. She further conflated Black Lives Matter activists with Nazis and the KKK. She also said that George Soros, a Jewish Democratic mega donor, is a Nazi. She pushed that, quote, there is an Islamic invasion into our government offices right now, unquote, as a response to the 2018 midterm elections, where the U.S. elected the first two Muslim women ever to Congress. Greene said that those that practice Islam needed to, quote unquote, stay over there in the Middle East. Greene also said that Black people were enslaved to the Democratic Party, and that the white male population in the U.S. is, quote, the most mistreated group of people in the United States today, unquote. She pushed the conspiracy theory that the Las Vegas shooting was an attempt to abolish the Second Amendment, and that a student activist who survived the Parkland High School shooting is, quote unquote, little Hitler. She also was an anti-masker at the peak of the 2019 pandemic, and after the January 6th insurrection, she said that it was all planned by the federal government and that it was hijacked by Antifa. Needless to say, her political platform aligned with the Trump platform 2AT, no pun intended, which she continued to be an advocate for Trump while Biden was in office, consistently saying the 2020 election was stolen and rigged, even going as far as to wear a face mask with the words Trump won embroidered on it. Republican leaders at the time, such as House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, supported Dr. John Cohen, Greene's opponent, in the Republican primary runoff in August of 2020. He said in an interview with Politico, again, back in 2020, quote, the comments made by Ms. Greene are disgusting and don't reflect the values of equality and decency that make our country great, unquote. The Republican Jewish Coalition was one of the first groups to denounce her publicly after the first primary, saying that they will not be endorsing Greene during her primary and would not be supporting them if she won her primary and carried on into the general election. Once she won the Republican nomination after the runoff, Trump said that Greene is a quote-unquote future Republican star. You remember Scalise that I mentioned just a few seconds ago? Well, he ended up saying that they, the Republicans in the House, wanted to chat with her to get an understanding of what she wanted to accomplish while in office. He said in an interview with CNN, quote, you gotta respect every district. I think I owe it to her to have a real good, candid conversation, unquote. Once she won, as I've mentioned already, she was a staunch Trump supporter in the House. Well, she became one of the main faces of MAGA. She went into office in January of 2021 as an outsider of politics and wanted to change the landscape and didn't care how it happened. The same as Trump. She continued to champion the Trump agenda and had his full support. That was until May of this year when she started criticizing things the president had been doing. I'm going to be looking at the interview she did with Tucker Carlson about 2 months ago and her stance on the Epstein files being released, because these two things either took me by surprise or stood out to me the most. Now, I want to point this out before I deep dive. Greene has clashed with her party previously, and she has been able to do this because of her funding profile. Unlike a lot of big-name Republicans, she has a large amount of small individual donors rather than political action committees or PACs backing her. So she's able to just do whatever she wants and not have the financial repercussions from these PACs that support the party as a whole. Anyway, in the episode of Tucker Carlson's podcast posted on October 22nd, he talked with Green about the MAGA platform and how it supposedly has been hijacked by fake MAGA Republicans who don't take the quote-unquote five pillars of MAGA to heart but play pretend to continue to build their political careers. Now, the five pillars, according to Carlson, is 1, America first, 2, control and secure the border, 3, no more wars and country building, 4, build up America's economy by scaling back on U.S. involvement in globalization, and 5, protect free speech. Anyway, Green voiced her opposition to the U.S.'s involvement with Israel in this interview. She said that the bombings of Iran on behalf of Israel was pointless. There was no retaliation from Iran, and that even if there was, Israel would have been fine because the U.S. is funding their Iron Dome. She did point out that everything happening in Gaza was horrendous and that it should stop. Of course, she clarified that she wasn't anti-Semitic because she didn't like Israel's government. She said that she doesn't want to pay for their war and that her constituents, her voters, are fed up with it. Now, I remember when I was younger and I would talk with my dad about Israel, although I can't remember what was going on politically around that time, but he said that the U.S. should do everything in its power to protect and support Israel because they are God's people, and if we didn't support them, we would face his or God's wrath. This is kind of the stance that traditional Republicans and traditional conservatives have towards Israel. Now, I bring this up because MTG said in this interview with Carlson that Christian ministers should not be pushing their congregations to support Israel without any questions, and that the only way for Christians to get into heaven was through believing in Jesus and in God. Although I'm not super religious, I respect her for pointing this out. This is some of the pro-Israel propaganda that is passed around in conservative circles. Green pointed out the hypocrisy of all of it. She even went as far as to say that the hate that we have for the Middle East, China, and Russia is fake and that they are just continuing on with the rhetoric because the U.S. has been doing it forever. She said that she is tired of it and she doesn't get the point of doing it anymore, that her constituents don't get the point anymore. Now, throughout this interview, she professed her love for Trump many times. She was still very much Team Trump through and through. But there was a drastic split between her and the president over the release of the Epstein files, which has been the entirety of my newsfeed for the past weekend, because I'm recording this on a Monday, and half of the files were released on Friday, most of them heavily redacted. All right, out of my rabbit hole, back to Marjorie Taylor Greene. This is just going to be a quick rundown of the timeline of the release of the Epstein files so that we are all on the same page and understand the context of everything. Now, Representative Thomas Massey, a Republican from Kentucky, filed a discharge petition to release the Epstein files on September 2nd, 2025. The 218th signature that pushed through this petition didn't come until November 12th with the signature from Representative Adelita Grijalva, the Democrat from Arizona, whose swearing-in was delayed by Speaker Mike Johnson over her promise to sign the discharge petition. Finally, on November 18th, the Epstein Files Transparency Act passed the House with a 427-1 vote and passed the Senate on November 19th unanimously. Trump signed it into law on November 19th. Back to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She signed the discharge petition when it was filed on September 2nd and was a very strong advocate for the release and the survivors of Epstein's sex trafficking ring. Trump previously said that the whole Epstein file thing was a Democratic hoax and that there was no reason why we as a country should be focusing on what is in the files, even though he had campaigned on releasing the files. Back in July, the Department of Justice said that there was no client list to be released. Anyway, in response to Green's strong support for the release of the files, Trump branded her a traitor and started calling her Marjorie Traitor Greene, and took aim at her, saying that he will endorse her competitor in the Georgia primary. Come November 18th, the day the act was passed, survivors of Epstein stood on the steps of the Capitol building demanding the discharge of the Epstein files. Green was one of the people to speak at this conference. She voiced her support for the survivors, saying that they are strong and courageous. She describes them not as victims, but as fighters and survivors. Green went on to say that the House and others who supported the release of the files fought against, quote, the most powerful people in the world, even the President of the United States, unquote. Throughout this conference, Green took shots at the president and said that the people of the United States demanded the release of the files and Trump was only serving himself. This was the final straw for Green. Which brings me to her resignation, which is probably what you've been waiting for. I'm going to read an excerpt from the 4-page letter she posted on her ex on November 21st. If you want to read the full thing, I have it linked in the blog post for this episode. She said, quote, "My only goal and desire has ever been to hold the Republican Party accountable for the promises it makes to the American people and put America first. And I have fought against Democrats' damaging policies like the Green New Deal, wide open, deadly, unsafe border policies, and the trans agenda on children and against women. With that has brought years of nonstop, never-ending personal attacks, death threats, lawfare, ridiculous slander, and lies about me that most people could never withstand even for a day. It has been unfair and wrong, not only to me and especially my family, but to my district as well. I have too much self-respect and dignity, love for my family way too much, and do not want my sweet district to have to endure a hurtful and hateful primary against me by the president we all fought for, only to fight and win my election while Republicans will likely lose the midterms, and in turn be expected to defend the president against impeachment after he hatefully dumped tens of millions of dollars against me and tried to destroy me. It is also absurd and completely unserious. I refuse to be a battered wife, hoping it all goes away and gets better. If I am cast aside by MAGA Inc. and replaced by neocons, big pharma, big tech, military-industrial war complex, foreign leaders, and the elite donor class that can't even relate to real Americans, then many common Americans have been cast aside and replaced as well. There is no plan to save the world or insane 4D chess game being played. When the common American people finally realize and understand that the political industrial complex of both parties is ripping this country apart, that no one elected leader like me is able to stop Washington's machine from gradually destroying our country, and instead the reality is that they, common Americans, the people, possess real power over Washington, then I will be here by their side to rebuild it. Until then, I'm going back to the people I love, to live life to the fullest as I always have, and look forward to a new path ahead. I will be resigning from office with my last day being January 5th, 2026. Although this letter is filled with party division, she points out that both parties have failed the American people. Green says she refuses to be the target of Trump's attacks as the MAGA that she helped establish and defend is taken over. Funny enough, she mentions neocons, which we talked about in my last episode on right-wing extremism. Anyway. She calls Trump's bluff on the whole 4D chess rhetoric that is being used to defend his decisions. Green concludes her letter by calling upon the American people to take back the power in Washington and hold them accountable before signing off saying her last day will be January 5th. I was stunned by this news. I think we all were. She apologized in an interview with CNN for partaking in what she called toxic politics after causing so much hate and discontent for the past 5 years. After seeing her interview with Tucker, I really had hope that she would be a force of change within the Republican Party. Then she hit us with a resignation letter and I was at a loss for words. But her colleagues in Congress were not at a loss for words. The Hill compiled a list of some of the reactions from members of Congress. Let's start off with some of the reactions from Democrats. AOC, a Democrat from New York, as we all know, said on an Instagram story that Green's resignation was perfectly timed so that she is able to receive her pension and after she allegedly made millions on insider trading. Those claims come from Green stating herself that she purchased potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stock in early April and then dumped anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 worth of treasury bills right before Trump paused his global tariffs. Jasmine Crockett, a very outspoken Democrat from Texas, posted on X saying that she did not see Green's resignation coming and that the threats you receive for opposing Trump and his agenda are real. Crockett also pointed out that Trump tends to use people, and when they are no longer serving their purpose, he casts them aside. I mean, hell, how many times did he switch up his cabinet during his first term? I'd even put money on him switching up his cabinet within the first few months of 2026, but we'll see. Eric Swalwell said in an interview on CNN, quote, "We need her vote to put the Obamacare subsidies back in place because everyone's premiums are going to go up on January 1st. She's been an advocate, actually." Unquote. Let's see what her colleagues in the Republican Party have been saying about her resignation. Thomas Massey posted on X, quote, "I'll miss her tremendously. She embodies what a true representative should be, Everyone should read her statement. There's more honestly expressed in these four pages than most politicians will speak in a lifetime, unquote. Granted, he's also on Trump's bad side for the whole Epstein files and other things. His reaction is fairly fitting. And Barbara Comstock, a former Republican House member, applauded Green's decision to step down and not tolerate Trump's abuse and the death threats that followed. She, too, is a anti-Trumper. I listened to an interview from a local NPR station with Alex Conant, who is a Republican strategist associated with the Firehouse Strategies. He said that there is definitely a split within the Republican Party. This is what we call intra-party division. And that is between the quote-unquote MAGA coalition and traditional Republicans. It's your Marjorie Taylor Greens versus your Ted Cruz's. He goes on to say that because of the split and because of the realization that being a member of Congress is not all it's cracked up to be, as seen by 44 lawmakers announcing to leave or already have left Congress this year, of which 26 of them were Republicans, the midterms are going to be an interesting thing to watch in this coming year. Speaking of midterm elections, the special election to replace Marjorie Taylor Greene is coming up soon. In Georgia, Governor Brian Kemp has 10 days to call for a special election after the vacancy of a seat. The election can take place 30 days after the call for the election. He can't call for the election until after January 5th, when MTG leaves. The Georgia Secretary of State website has listed March 17th as the expected date for the election of Green's replacement, but then again, it is subject to change. From what I was able to see, there are about 17 candidates for Georgia's 14th congressional district for the 2026 general election. We're assuming that these candidates are also going to try and run in the special election for the same seat earlier in the year to replace MTG. There aren't really like any front runners from what I can see, but again, we'll monitor the situation and see how this all goes. But what about Marjorie Taylor Greene? What in the world is she going to do now? Well, she hasn't completely ruled politics out of the question. Although she hasn't explicitly expressed interest in running for a particular office, there have been rumors that she has looked at the Senate and at Georgia's governor's office as potential spots to continue her campaign for conservative policies. There is even like talk of her trying to throw her hat in the ring for the 2028 presidential election. I think that's a little bit far-fetched, at least for Marjorie Taylor Greene. But again, we shall see. But how sincere is this whole resignation fiasco? The truth is that we probably will never know how sincere this whole thing is, but my thoughts on all of it are kind of all over the place, to be honest. I find her break with Trump a hopeful sign that there might be some collective dissent against him and his policies from within his own party. Although Green still adamantly believes in Trump's platform and in MAGA, there are some things that she has pushed in recent months that I can agree with. That being the release of the Epstein files, like pretty much every American right now, and with the funding that we are just handing out to foreign countries without a second question, and the fight that we've picked with Venezuela. Trump has not been embodying his America First policies, and Green publicly called his bluff on all of it. And I can respect her for it. Woman to woman, I respect you calling his bluff. I do think that she has aspirations for higher office and will use this resignation and the attacks on her from Trump as a platform for those campaigns. She is very popular in her home district, and she might use that momentum to catapult her into a higher office. She might even call Trump part of the swamp, and that she will fight his executive overreach and anti-American interest policies. Those are my thoughts on all of it, and it's, again, a little bit of everything. I do think that her resignation is a sign of how the midterms are going to go for Republicans. I've already mentioned that 26 Republicans are already stating that they aren't coming back, and they only have a slim majority in the House. We are all expecting the Democrats to win back the House come November. But then again, as I said earlier, we shall see. There have been countless times where we think we can predict what the election's going to look like, and then come election night, when the polls are all coming in, we're all stunned. So again, we shall see. And that is all I have for you today. Thank you for tuning in to That's Politics, where we talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene's resignation and what all this might mean for MAGA in the upcoming midterms. To view source material used in this episode, you can always pop on over to the blog post for this episode. To recommend a topic or give me feedback on today's episode, you can email me at MackenzieAtkinson@thatspoliticspodcast.com. You can also DM me on the official podcast Facebook page. Now for that special announcement I teased at the top of the episode. Starting in 2026, I will be launching a Patreon for the podcast. On there, you will be able to get ad-free episodes, and I'll be introducing a new segment for the higher tier called That's Politics Unfiltered, where you will get a weekly 15-minute segment of me breaking down the politics of the week with added commentary. I'll be covering key headlines, what they mean for us, and what this might mean for the midterms, and maybe even our democracy as a whole. I genuinely hope that you'll come along with me on this journey in 2026. And with that, I'll end the episode. I'm your host, Mackenzie Atkinson, and I will see you in the new year.